Between the Lies podcast.
It's been a long time coming. All of you doubted me. Me, I just want my mama to be proud of me. Blending analogies with these realities. Murder to be, man, that's just a fatality. Gone. Yeah. I move through life with a mama mentality. Darkness surrounding me, it started drowning me. I can't be killing myself for a salary, no.
And welcome back to the Between the Lies podcast, where we deep dive into whatever wicked or warped subject we might find our way into at that given time. As always, I am your host, and not only am I battling a horrible sickness these past like 5 days, I've been literally down for the count, sleeping all day. And that's really not like me, but I'm also battling an air conditioner, so my setup today is going to be a little bit closer to my air conditioner, but it's hot enough outside that I don't really want to turn it off. So, please bear with me, I sound like I'm not breathing out of my nose, because I'm not breathing out of my nose. So, at this point, we're going to talk about today's subject, which it definitely has been a crazy week or so. For conspiracy theories, mainstream conspiracy theories, plus we have people weighing in from both sides of the aisle when it comes to the Trump assassination attempt, of course, is what I'm talking about today. And I just want to go over all the options, and then, you know, we'll get into the fun parts where we're talking about every angle and what I believe it to be, because I think that we can all agree, right, left, center, like the game, all together we can agree that something fishy was going on at that event. So I'm going to read first and foremost an official narrative of what happened from a mainstream media news site, and even they will point out some things that have you raise your eyebrow and go, was this allowed to happen? So let's read that narrative and then go from there. So this is straight from CBS News itself. It's from July 18th, 2024 at about 8:30 p.m. It states, timeline of Trump shooting shows that Secret Service was aware of a suspicious person 20 minutes before the assassination attempt. It states, despite the 90-degree heat on Saturday, July 13th, thousands descended upon Pennsylvania's Butler Farm Show, which is a roughly 100-acre fairground used for agricultural exhibition. They were excited to see former President Donald Trump, who had spoken at the site before. Butler County voted overwhelmingly for Trump in 2020, so the crowd was expected to be about as friendly as you'd find anywhere in the country. But things took a sudden, deadly turn minutes after the former president and Republican nominee, now, began speaking. Here's a timeline of the attempted assassination of Trump as new details are learned from the investigation. So Trump would go on around 6:03. So at 5:51 p.m., Secret Service is notified of a suspicious person. Again, a full 12 minutes before Trump even goes on. 20 minutes before the shooting, the U.S. Secret Service was notified by the Pennsylvania State Police of a suspicious person with a rangefinder, which is used for sniper situations, on the ground, according to three sources familiar with the briefing to members of Congress on Wednesday. So this is what they're admitting to. Imagine the things they're not admitting to here. Then we have 5:52 p.m. Secret Service shares information about said suspicious person. The Secret Service disseminated information about the suspicious person with the rangefinder to the counter-sniper team and response agents on the ground. At this point, local law enforcement did not know the suspicious person had a gun, according to them. Well, let me tell you this. Something tells me that if you're at a presidential rally and the stakes are so high and you identify somebody climbing a building with a rangefinder, that you would maybe want to work to neutralize that guy. But I don't know. I don't know. That's just me. You might want to not wait till you see a gun or hear a shot, but that's just me. 6:03, Trump takes the stage. So at 6:03, he began speaking his rah-rah speech to the crowd. 6:09 p.m., police alert officers to the gunman. So people were alerting law enforcement to the gunman on the roof of a building about 410 feet away from the stage at least 2 minutes before the first shot was fired at Trump. Although I've seen literally, it seems like 100 videos of people calling out to the officers, hey, there's somebody on the building. Here, it literally quotes some of these people. They said, look, they're all pointing. Someone's on top of the roof. There he is, right there, right there. You see him? He's laying down. Another person appears to gesture to the officer. He's on the roof, right here on the roof. People were getting fed up in the crowd. They could see this coming from a mile away. As one witness later described it, we noticed the guy crawling, you know, bear crawling up the roof of a building beside us, about 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof, the witness added. He had a rifle. You could clearly see him with a rifle. So that's interesting. That's something we'll store away and consider. Butler County Sheriff Michael Sloop said that shortly before the shooting, an armed officer tried to reach the gunman but had to fall back. He stated, "All I know is the officer had both hands on the roof to get up onto the roof," Sloop told CBS Pittsburgh. But the officer never made it because the shooter had turned towards the officer. So what's the counter sniper team doing here? And rightfully and smartfully, the officer let go. After that, the shooter turned his rifle back towards the rally. So it doesn't say what time that was, but in the case that that cop properly communicated, hey, there's a shooter on top of this roof who is not part of the counterintelligence or the sniper team or whatever. If you see somebody with a gun trained on a rally where there's a presidential candidate, you kill him on sight. I don't care what anybody says. So this is all just fishy bullshit to me. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by going through the entirety of the timeline of when each bullet was fired and this and that. We've seen the media narrative. Everybody listening to this, it's probably been drilled into your head exactly what happened. They're saying that this lone shooter, a guy who, keep in mind, was in a BlackRock commercial, which we'll go into shortly, just happened to be able to beat out the security team, the security personnel, Secret Service, etc., and he got on the one building that they weren't watching, was able to get off a few shots right before he was killed by the counterintelligence, etc. I also want you guys to keep in mind that every single shooting, whether it be a school shooting, political assassination, but mostly these school and building shootings we hear about all the time, we always hear the same thing about each gunman. It's that he never talked to anybody in school. He sat alone at lunch. This, that, and the other thing. I want to take a minute to say, let's say there's 20 mass shootings in the span of 10 years. I know there's more before people crucify me online. Do you really think that each gunman, let's say there were 20 gunmen, 20 shootings, all mass shootings or assassination attempts, whatever. Do you really think that each gunman would have the exact same personality? Does that make sense to anybody? Sure, you might have like 10 or 15 that, you know, kept to themselves in school and didn't talk to anybody and, you know, had real mental problems. But is it really possible that every single shooter has the same exact MO? I mean, literally every interview you'll ever hear about any of these shooters, it's he sat alone at lunch. Just keep that in mind, because I think probability itself would tell you that, let's say there were 20 mass shooters, and again, I know there's plenty more before anybody attacks me or anything. If there were 20 mass shooters, that some of their personality traits would be different. What do I mean by that? I mean, I would imagine that maybe two of them were just upset with life. They had a terrible day at life. They had a gun and they took it out on the public, which is an absolutely horrible thing. But my conspiracy overthinking mind, I guess you can call it, thinks to myself, how is it they all have the same MO? But nonetheless, that's a whole different subject and something I rarely even want to talk about because of the legal implications, unfortunately, in what used to be a free speaking country. It's been proven that you can't cross certain lines, but nonetheless. In terms of Thomas Matthew Crooks getting back on track, this is from the British Broadcasting Company's website, so I'm reading it straight from that. So obviously they're kind of mainstream media news too, but I like to give the background on at least the mainstream media narrative at the time. That way we can kind of dive into the details. So it says, Thomas Crooks was from Bethel Park in Pennsylvania, 43 miles from the site of an attempted assassination. He graduated in 2022 from Bethel Park High School. got a prize for math and science, according to a local newspaper. Crooks worked in a local nursing home kitchen, that's really nice, where staff members have said that he passed a background check and raised zero concerns. So that's interesting. He attended the Community College of Allegheny from 2021 to 2024 and graduated with an associate degree in engineering science. In a statement sent to the British Broadcasting Company, the college noted that he graduated with high honors and that the review of his records turned up no disciplinary issues. Which, again, to me, that's a red flag. All of a sudden, somebody just goes and does this and has literally no track record of bad behavior, aggressive behavior, anything. But anyways, state voter records show that he was a registered Republican, which we've heard all through the media. He also donated $15 to a liberal campaign group, Act Blue, in 2021, according to an election donation filing and news reports. He had a membership at a local shooting club, the Clareton Sports Club, for at least a year. It has multiple gun ranges, including a high-power rifle facility with targets up to 171 meters away. So the club then goes on to say, we don't, you know, defend any of his actions, covering their ass, of course. Law enforcement officials believe the weapon used to shoot at Donald Trump, an AR-style rifle, was purchased by Crook's father. I guess this hasn't been confirmed yet, or we'll just never find out. Authorities say that Crook's purchased a box of ammunition containing 50 rounds on the day of the rally. Now it goes on and says, what was his motivation? And again, this is the mainstream media agenda. Keep that in mind. Police and agencies investigating have been unable to identify a motivation so far. Officials briefed on the shooting were told he had visited the site of the attack, the Butler County Fairgrounds, at least once in the days before the assassination attempt, and had previously searched on his phone for symptoms of a depressive disorder. The attacker also used his phone to search for images of both Donald Trump and President Joe Biden. So I'm just going to cut in there. Part of me thinks that they're purposely going to say, even if this was some attack from the left, like many people think it was, they're going to throw in that Joe Biden search and say, oh, maybe he was targeting both. To me, that seems like probably bullshit. But anyways, I just wanted to point that out. On the 15th of July, the FBI said its forensic experts have successfully accessed Crook's phone, and they are examining it and other digital evidence for clues. Crook's family is cooperating with investigators, according to the FBI. Citing three law enforcement sources, CBS has reported that his father called police after the shooting, although the nature of that call is still unclear. FBI Director Christopher Wray told U.S. lawmakers that more than 200 interviews have been so far conducted and 14,000 images reviewed. Police believe Crooks acted alone but are continuing to investigate whether he was accompanied to the rally. Then it states, what kind of person was he? So far, a confusing, it states, and at times conflicting picture has emerged of who Crooks really was as a person. Speaking to local news outlet Yada Yada, some young locals who went to school with him described him as a loner who was frequently bullied and sometimes wore hunting outfits to school. There was also an interview that I witnessed where the first thing the guy says, like we talked about earlier, he sits there with his eyes wide open and says, oh, he just always sat alone at lunch. Again, it just baffles me that the MO is always the exact same with these shooters. Another former classmate of his, Summer Barkley, cast him differently, telling the British Broadcasting Company that he was always getting good grades on tests and was very passionate about history. She described him as well-liked by his teachers. Others simply remembered him as being quiet. Another classmate who did not want to be identified described him as intelligent but a little weird, which, you know, is something that happens at school. It's unfortunate, but kids judge other kids. It's messed up, honestly. You know, when you're in high school, you don't necessarily see it that way, but when you get older and you look back, you're like, you know, I was an asshole sometimes. Not me personally, but people in general. The restaurant's owner, Angelo's Pizza, which is a restaurant in Bethel Park, they were familiar with Crooks. So the restaurant's owner, Sarah Petko, said that staff members, some of whom were his classmates, thought he was a loner, but they were having trouble understanding how an otherwise quiet man turned to such violence. Another former classmate told ABC News he shot terrible and wasn't really fit for the rifle team. The school district said there was no record of Crooks trying out for the team, and he never appeared on the roster. So that's a little weird, right? Wow. So we're uncovering things right here, just reading through some of this information. A former classmate, again, goes on the record and states he wasn't fit for the rifle team. He had a terrible shot. And that's something pretty particular. That's something like somebody would remember. I don't really believe that's something somebody would make up. And then the school comes out and says he never appeared on the roster. There's no record of him trying out for the team because, yes, he missed the shot that happened on Trump, obviously, but it was a good shot in the terms of, you know, it didn't go 50 yards that way or 50 yards that way. He clearly had a decent enough shot where he almost killed a former president. But then we have the school coming out and saying, no, he never tried out for the team. He never tried out. That's odd. But obviously, as more information comes out, we'll know more. That's why I personally waited to do this episode myself, because I saw a lot of people like dropping podcasts the same day it happened, you know, for shock value and to get like instant views. And I understand the whole game, but my game is like to learn about this and try to get all the information before we shape our opinions or, you know, lead anyone anywhere. But anyways, I find it pretty peculiar. Not only did the school cover up, it looks like, allegedly, covered up some records that he may have had at the school of him being a terrible shot. That's weird. That stands out to me. But it also stands out to me that, yes, maybe he was quiet and a loner, but no disciplinary history at any of his schools? You would expect at least a history of aggression. They said he may have had a depressive disorder, but you would expect like a long history of mental health and maybe, I don't know, threats to schools and, you know, just crazy stuff that would make him this crazy guy capable of doing this. But maybe sometimes people snap. I'm not denying it. I will say that specific article itself did not mention something that is quite eye-opening and a weird connection that have, you know, many people have been talking about this all over the internet, but Thomas Matthew Crooks actually appeared in a 2022 BlackRock ad. And for those of us who don't know, BlackRock is one of the most powerful companies in the entire world. Many people basically hold them to be the person behind the curtain that we always talk about. They manage over $10.5 trillion, and that's just what's on record. So they have the most money in the world, the most skin in the game. So they're pulling a lot of the strings in the world. And there's really no denying that. Whoever has the most money, of course, is going to have the most power in the way that this world is set up. So let's talk about that BlackRock ad, because although it's not like he was an actor cast by BlackRock, he still has this connection to one of the most powerful companies in the world, which certainly begs some questions. It states in this article, Thomas Matthew Crooks, the 20-year-old gunman who opened fire at the Saturday rally for Donald Trump, once appeared in an advertisement for the investment firm BlackRock. The ad, which was produced in 2022, was filmed at Bethel Park High School, where Crooks was a student at the time. BlackRock filmed the spot, part of a series aimed at teachers managing their retirement assets in a classroom led by a real teacher and which featured real students. Crooks was one of those students, BlackRock told CBS Money Watch. He was not paid, nor was he hired by the company as an actor. It states, in 2022, we ran an ad featuring a teacher from Bethel Park High School, which several unpaid students briefly appeared in the background, including Thomas Matthew Crooks. We will make all video footage available to the appropriate authorities, and we have removed the video from circulation out of respect for the victim. So that is a very weird connection, and I'll tell you why. So again, BlackRock being one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful entity in the entire world, many people assume that they are a big part of the deep state. So we have this whole idea that Trump is the one going against the deep state. So if we have a connection from Thomas Crooks to one of the biggest companies in the world, albeit it's just him being in the background of a promotional video they did, it definitely begs the question, is there some connection from the most powerful company in the world to this person who was possibly put up to committing this assassination attempt? And again, he wasn't far off. He barely missed. Keep that in mind. So it was close to being an assassination. Was he put up to this? That's the question. But nonetheless, enough with the background, enough with the reading articles. I want to talk about the interesting stuff because I'm sure all of us know the narrative. We know what happened. We have a little background on Thomas Crooks. We know that his school was covering, it looked like, covering the fact that he was a bad shooter. So that tells me, is it a possibility that he is just being identified as the person who was shooting? But I really haven't seen any close-up videos. I don't know. I know there's pictures of the dead body. I don't know if you could 100% see his face. Or is it possible that he was a bad shooter? He was put up to this and put through some type of training before this happened. Now, some people will say, that's crazy. You know, they can't make people do things they don't want to do. And I encourage you, if you truly believe that, what I just said, that statement, that there's no way that anybody could be hypnotized to do any type of sick stuff like this, I beg of you, go get the book Chaos by Tom Neal. It is all about Charles Manson and the Manson family and their connections to the CIA, which has been buried throughout history. It is one of the most informative and can't put down books that I've ever read in my entire life. I actually plan on reading it again in the next couple months. But nonetheless, a lot of that insinuates through evidence. And keep in mind, this guy was researching this topic for 20 years, 20 years straight for his work. He interviewed everybody. You know, he knew every single narrative. It was the most impressive feat of journalism I think I've ever seen in my life, just reading this. You could just feel the passion on the project that he had, and that's what it's all about. But nonetheless, it's heavily suggested in my belief that the CIA, when they were doing MK Ultra projects in the 60s, which is all on record, by the way, of course they say it stopped, but did it really stop? The CIA is literally lawless. They can get away with whatever they want. It's beyond what we can even comprehend, the things that they do and get away with. So I'll leave it at that. But there was definitely CIA influence in the mind of Charles Manson, who would go on to get these people to commit these heinous crimes, whether he did it himself or not. So, with that said, our nation, whether it be the deep state, whatever you want to call it, the man behind the curtain, whatever, we have that intelligence to be able to push someone to their breaking point and get them to do something that otherwise they might not do. So that could absolutely sum it up. And I am open to that theory. I think it's a possibility that Donald Trump is really fighting for the people. It's just hard for me as a conspiracy mind personally to believe that. I think he would have been dead by now. And that opens the door for some other theories that people are having about this event. And I just want to keep everybody on the same page and just put this out there. I don't know what I feel about this event yet 100%. I could tell you where I'm leaning, but that doesn't really do a service to anybody. But I will present, you know, the two things that I really think and tell you where I'm leaning. But now we're going to talk about the fun part. We're going to talk about the conspiracy part, all the weird things that line up, numbers, dates, how long until the next election, the weirdest stuff you could ever think of. But nonetheless, we're going to start with the Illuminati card game. Now, in 1995, Steven Jackson Games released the Illuminati card game, which is a card game where you play it and it's like you're juggling world events. You're almost like somebody powerful in the world, and certain world events affect each other. Nonetheless, that's the basis of the game. It's not like Yu-Gi-Oh, you know, it's about like world events and critical thinking, etc. And it's a role-playing card game, okay? So keep in mind, I want you guys, if you've never heard of this, go look up the Illuminati card game and their connection to 9/11. Because in 1995, when this game dropped, there is a card that shows the World Trade Center, or one of the World Trade Centers, both of them next to each other, actually, with some type of explosion through it. And people have put that card right next to the pictures and video, of course, that we have of the fateful morning of 9/11, which don't get me started on the conspiracy side of that, and said this was a prediction. This was them predicting it before it happened, and I 100% believe that. So we're going to talk about the Trump card, which has blown my mind. And I literally want to spend about 10 minutes talking about nothing but the card, because I've sent it to a few people over the last week or so and literally blown people's minds with it. So let's talk about the card, what it possibly could mean, and the fact that this card existing tells me that the world might be a stage. So I encourage you, if you haven't heard about this specific card in this Steven Jackson Games Illuminati card game deck, to familiarize yourself with the deck in general, because there are many things, and I'll go through them briefly on the show today after we talk about this Trump card, that they have predicted almost spot on, and it leads me to believe the possibility that these things are planned out years in advance, and it kind of tells you everything you need to know in a way. But here is the Enough is Enough card. So the Enough is Enough card has a man with a scrunched face, looks like he's like screaming or in agony or pain. Now, many people for years have said that this specific image looks like, or literally is, Donald Trump. So we'll get into that in a second, because some people have put Donald Trump's face from after the shot being fired right over this card, and it's literally almost an exact match. So keep that in mind. So you see, it's like a purple face screaming, and it looks like a line going past his head, almost like a bullet whizzing by him. Wow, that's weird, right? It states enough is enough, which we'll go into in a little bit as well, because that definitely carries something with it. There's been certain symbolism recently and certain people saying that phrase enough is enough that it made me think, are they admitting to it out in the open? Listen to the description of the card, and if you haven't heard this yet, sit down, okay? It states, at any time, at any place, our snipers can drop you. Have a nice day. And I encourage you, I have chills as I'm reading this, I encourage you to go and look at this card. And I want to, again, reinforce the fact that we all saw Trump after he got knocked down. He fell over, he got up, he pumped his fist and screamed into the crowd. Famously, infamously, whatever you want to say, fight, fight, fight is what he said to the crowd, right? So people have taken that iconic picture of him pumping his fist in the air. They've cropped out his face and placed it directly over the Enough is Enough card. And it is literally an exact match. When I tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that that is Donald Trump on the card, and this is not a prediction. This was a spoiler. It was a guarantee of events that were going to happen, at least in my mind. It will blow your mind. Go and look at this card. And all I'm going to say to you is, what are the mathematical chances of that? We talk about the coincidences in all these theories all the time. And I urge you and ask you, seriously, with a clear mind, don't lean left, right, middle, whatever. Don't lean towards any political affiliation. Look at this Enough is Enough card and tell me, what are the chances that it would be somebody who looked like Donald Trump? What are the chances that it would have what looks to be something whizzing by his face? What are the chances that his face he made at the end of that rally when he was rushed off almost exactly matches the card? And what are the chances that it says, at any time, at any place, our snipers can drop you. Have a nice day. What are the chances of that? That is literally, I've been doing, looking into these theories, into the subject on my own for 15 years. I think I was 12 or 13. My brother showed me a movie called Zeitgeist, which I encourage everybody to watch. Very interesting and eye-opening movie. Don't believe everything in the movie, personally, but nonetheless, it changed my world. I've been doing this type of research ever since. I've been addicted to finding out who the man behind the curtain is, if some of these world events are possibly staged, etc. I have never seen anything as jaw-dropping as this card. So just keep that in mind. Now, quickly, to reinforce the idea that this card game is possibly predictions or some type of timeline that the powers that be are mapping out, let's go through the other cards that are peculiar and have turned into world events. The first one, I will reiterate, is the World Trade Center card. It's clearly the World Trade Center on these cars, or at least a visual representation of them, with what looks like the same exact explosion that happened on 9/11. Won't you know that the name of the card is Terrorist Nuke? It just doesn't get any weirder than that. That was a full 6 years before 9/11 happened, and don't get me started on 9/11. Because 9/11 has changed and should change the public's view of any of these world big tragic events. Because truly, there are certain things in 9/11, like Building 7 falling at free fall speed by itself, blocks down, with no plane hitting it, just an office fire, they said. Stuff like that makes you consider the fact that that entire event might be a sham. And honestly, I'm just going to say it. It is a sham. And they killed 3,000 people to go somewhere for a government agenda. So keep that in mind whenever we're researching these type of events and talking about, could this be real? Could this be staged? That's the reason why people's minds go there. Because we've seen the proof of it. But anyways, I digress. The next card in the Steven Jackson card game that I believe has a reality base, let's say, is this. Now, the card states Subliminals is the title, and it's ice cream, and there's, I guess, like chocolate syrup on the ice cream, and it spells out sex. The description says their secret mind-altering messages are hidden everywhere. And just a few years later, when The Lion King came out, if you guys remember, there was that whole debacle about weird hidden images in certain Disney movies. And in The Lion King, at a certain part of the movie where they're on that cliff, it's like an iconic scene in the film, I want to say, it actually spells out sex in the stars. And literally, in this description, they're saying their secret mind-altering messages are hidden everywhere. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? They're literally calling their shots before they take them, guys. Next, we have a eerie prediction of the Pentagon plane crash, which we remember that happened around 9/11 as well. And it's the Pentagon literally on fire, a similar scene that we saw on that day. So again, they have a World Trade Center one and a Pentagon one. And we were told that a plane hit the Pentagon, but keep in mind that the tapes have never been shown. Okay? This is the card game we're talking about. So I got one more, and then I'll stop talking about the card game and get off my tangent. But this one reminds me of Epstein Island. It has some similar imagery to Epstein Island, except instead of the blue and white stripes we remember, we see red and yellow stripes. And it's a place called Xanadu. It states, it looks like a beautiful place with birds and wildlife and like a beautiful tropical island. It states, is it a place or does it exist only in virtual reality? Nobody knows. Xanadu is the ultimate vacation spot where all desires are fulfilled. Keep in mind that last sentence. Once one of your servants has visited here, he'll be loyal forever just for a chance to go back. And what does that remind us of? It sounds exactly like Epstein Island. Keep in mind that they're literally saying all their desires are fulfilled. And once, you know, your member or your friend goes there, he's going to be loyal forever. He just wants a chance to go back. And it literally looks like Epstein Island. So that's what we're up against. That's what they're up against. Some of these things are pre-planned and they're calling their shots, and you can't convince me otherwise. But so I stopped going on this tangent. Let's get back to the Trump assassination and some things that didn't add up. But keep in mind, look up that card, the Enough is Enough card. That in itself, I think, proves a big part of this, that it's possible this entire thing was staged or at least planned out years ahead in time. And it would also explain how The Simpsons knew that Trump was going to run for president. They literally aired a show years before of him going up the escalator claiming he's going to be president. And then later when he announced he would be president, of course, he's going up an escalator. So just keep in mind that there are these subliminal messages that are happening in the future. There's something going on here. Could it be time travel? Or is just all this stuff meticulously planned out? It's almost easier to believe that it's time travel. So that's why I go so far on some of these theories, because anything truly is possible. We are being warned through movies of certain happenings, etc., subliminal messages all the time. We just have to pay more attention. But this one I can't ignore. Anyways, I'm done on the tangent about the Illuminati card game. There are two real possibilities in my mind about exactly what happened that day in Butler, Pennsylvania at this rally. First and foremost, based on the information we know that Secret Service dropped the ball. So then you start to have to wonder, A, was this an accident? Are they really that incompetent? Which I cannot believe that, because these people have to be vetted before they're hired. They have to make sure they're competent before they bring them on in such a serious role. Or is it possible that this was allowed to happen by the Secret Service? And although that's a real possibility, I want to keep everybody's wheels turning here, your gears turning rather, is mainstream media is literally telling us that this is a deep state plot. They're lightly suggesting it, at least. I've seen it on multiple news stations, it seems like a rogue reporter who says, oh, this seems like a deep state plot, and the other broadcasters like hush them up and say, I can't believe you would even say that. It happened at the RNC as well. The final possibility, because you're going to hear more and more about this deep state plot, and of course, that's what the media is encouraging us to believe at this point in my mind. But what about the possibility that this entire thing was stage theater, some type of visual ritual, per se? We're going to go into that in a second. And I want to present all the evidence that, to me, makes this thing look fishy. It just doesn't seem right to me. So let's talk about that, and then we'll wrap up the episode, guys. So first of all, of course, this is a theory. I'm not saying this is 100%, but this is where I'm leaning at this moment, based on all the information I've seen, and of course, my conspiracy theorist mind in general. First of all, I want to call attention to a weird thing I noticed about the mainstream media coverage of this particular Trump rally. Now, leading up to this particular rally, mainstream media was actually shying away from big coverage of Trump's rallies. Again, they're not in full support of Trump, at least until this event happened. But it just so happens that this particular rally, in a small rural town in Pennsylvania, mainstream media was all over it. It was literally live streamed on just about every mainstream media news outlet. Even the British Broadcasting Company was there. So keep that in mind. Of course, we also have the fact that the Secret Service just about completely dropped the ball, which I mentioned, and they knew about the shooter 15 to 20 minutes prior, but they never properly secured the perimeter in the first place. We have a giant ladder that was supposedly driven in the shooter's small car. Keep in mind that the shooter was also a smaller guy, probably couldn't even have handled the ladder. We have the fact that Secret Service is admitting on the record that they witnessed an individual with a rangefinder, yet they didn't make a concerted effort to take him out. So instead, they basically rolled out the red carpet for the prototype type of shooter who just doesn't talk to anybody in school. You know, the same MO that we talk about. Every single shooter has the same MO, guys. Also, I want to talk about the logistics of the shooting. So, of course, watching the shooting on mainstream media television, it was covered, overly covered. It sounded like three shots fired. Many people had assumed, because of the way that Trump reacted, that the first two shots were from the alleged shooter. Again, Thomas Matthew Crooks. But there's actually a video of somebody from the crowd that actually shows another story. They're aiming in this video. We see on the roof behind Trump to the left side, one of the security service detail snipers. And he clearly, based on what we know about the layout of the specific rally, which has been covered, again, overly, had his gun trained on exactly where Thomas Matthew Crooks would have been at the time. And in the video, we clearly see that gunman, aka, again, the Secret Service,
the sniper team, who is trained on the same building that Thomas Crooks was reportedly on. We see his gun buck three times, and it looks like it fires three times, and in accordance with the shots, which are again on audio of this video, it matches up perfectly. So explain that to me. Keep in mind that the mainstream media narrative is, again, that Thomas Matthew Crooks got a few shots off and then shots were returned from the Secret Service, which effectively neutralized them. But you'll see in this video, which I'm sure it's going to be hard to find on the internet, but please go on TikTok, you know, look this up. I might even post it on my TikTok for you guys, Between the Lies podcast, no spaces, no numbers, all lowercase. It's clear to me based on this video that the three shots you can hear clearly come from Secret Service and are headed in a completely different direction than Donald Trump. Although you also can watch in accordance and see Trump react to the sound of shots. And I know people are going to say, if you think this is staged, you're completely out of your mind, yada, yada. But I don't like the word staged. I want to think of it more as a psychological operation. A way to keep the world in flux and chaos ensuing, even possibly a way to convince people like me, the conspiracy theorists in the world, people like you as well, considering you're listening to the Between the Lies podcast tonight, to keep us believing that Trump is somehow going one-on-one against the deep state. Keep in mind, this is the same Donald Trump who's been on Epstein's plane and has more recorded pictures of him with Epstein than any of the other candidates in the race this year. Quite simply, in my mind, it is truly hard for me to believe that Donald Trump would be alive today if he was truly going against the deep state, guys. It's easier for me to believe that he's simply controlled opposition, the illusion that somebody is fighting for everyday people. And quite simply, I think he is the only reason that this nation does not revolt at this very time. So he's like a hero to the American people. And people think that he's the savior and going to drain the swamp and this and that. But he was already president. He didn't drain the swamp. He didn't put Hillary in prison. He didn't, you know, make a concerted effort to weed out the predators in Hollywood and politics. I mean, like, people are saying he's going against all this stuff, but he's clearly playing ball with it. But anyways, let's talk about some other things that don't add up about the shooting. Of course, we've already mentioned the huge lapse in Secret Service a million times. That can't be noted enough. We've talked about the amount of shots in the video, which seems to prove that the shots came from the Secret Service and not from Thomas Crooks. But another thing that doesn't add up is the behavior of the Secret Service after the shots are fired. The Secret Service trains for that moment, like that moment when they heard the shots. They're the one to rush up on the stage, not to hesitate, but go immediately. That's what they're trained to do. So can somebody explain to me why it took them two shots to even move? If you watch the video again, slow motion, regular motion, whatever, it seems like there's a general hesitation, like they didn't believe it was real at first or something. Because literally, if you watch the video again, you will see the Secret Service hesitate before they rush the stage. That stuck out to me immediately as well. We also see Trump clutch his ear and go down to the ground. And I'm no gun expert at all, but I've been reading a lot of people's testimonies who have way more experience than me with guns. And a lot of them have said that no matter if his ear was grazed or not, that his ear would be completely destroyed. But instead, you know, we just saw a moderate amount of bleeding and now he's wearing this huge band-aid on his ear, which I don't even think it's necessary. It's more of like a WWE type move from Trump here. And to the people who say, why would Trump fake all this and his people? Like, what's in it for them? How about a possible way to usher him into the presidency? How about his poll numbers going up from it and his popularity in general skyrocketing? How about the fact that now some of his supporters are even declaring that he's on an equal level to God, which I'll remind you guys is sacrilegious in itself. Again, just imagine that Trump, along with all the politicians and the people that apparently represent our country, are all in cahoots. It's all a show. Like comedian George Carlin used to say, it's a big club and we're not in it. Consider that. Again, also consider the fact that Donald Trump has acted in thousands of movies, had his own reality TV show, and has even been featured many times in the WWE. This man has an acting background. That's who he is. He's a showman. So after Donald Trump falls to the ground, a few seconds go by and we hear one of the Secret Service call out that the shooter has been neutralized. At that point, we hear Donald Trump insist multiple times before being led away, "Somebody grab my shoes. Let me get my shoes." I want everybody to logically think about this. Do you really think that somebody, after almost being shot in the head from a sniper in a crowd of thousands of people, would be worried about their shoes? Then we see Trump stand up and poke his head up. Again, no effort from the Secret Service in this moment to keep his head down or throw him to the ground. No matter what he wants to do, they should be throwing him to the ground. And many people have pointed out that the shooter had been neutralized and that had been called out in that moment. But consider this. The shooter, or so-called shooter, being neutralized does not mean that there were not multiple shooters at the event, and there was no way for the Secret Service in that moment in time to know that Thomas Crooks supposedly was the only shooter. So why would they let Trump poke his head out, throw his fist up and scream, "Fight, fight, fight," for the biggest photo opportunity ever? Again, keep in mind that many of these rallies were not even covered until this rally in rural Pennsylvania. Couple that with the Illuminati card game prediction, and for me personally, I'm starting to lean towards the fact this might be a psychological operation. Again, if you're listening to the show, you're probably into conspiracies, and most likely you know 9/11 was also a psychological operation, so consider the possibility that they will kill 3,000 people to make a political statement. Imagine what they do to convince you that someone's on your side. Lastly, I do know that a few people, based on what the media is saying, have passed away at the event. So I'm not denying that, but I also want to point out the fact that the mainstream media has become a propaganda machine in the last 10 to 15 years. So they absolutely could be lying to us about that. So that's not off the table either. Is it possible that these people were actually killed from a closer range to make it seem like the shots missed Donald Trump and hit random bystanders? I guess that's also a possibility. There is really so much here, and, you know, I could talk and talk and talk about it for hours and hours, but I want to sum it up and just let you guys know that a long time ago, a conspiracy theorist, or multiple, have come out and said this, and it stuck with me, and tying into the Illuminati card game, it kind of all makes sense. They said that the world is a stage. COVID, think about COVID, was a stage. There's a card in the Illuminati card game about COVID, and it clearly shows a mask and gloves and a vaccine and everything. And again, this Illuminati card game came out in 1995. The world is a stage. We were led to believe that staying 6 feet away from people was more healthy for us in these situations, but it's been proven time and time again that not only does the vaccine not even guard you against COVID, it actually has some dire health effects on some people, and many people are more at risk now because they took the vaccine, as well as the mask stuff and the 6 feet away and the stay inside and don't go in the sunlight. All that was complete and utter bullshit. So I like to think that the world truly is a stage, and looking at this event in this scope, ironically to say, looking at all of the possibilities, I'm leaning towards the fact that it may have been a staged event. My last point is this: if the deep state, let's say Thomas Matthew Crooks was somebody hired or brainwashed by the deep state to kill President Trump, I certainly don't think he would have missed. They would not put somebody in that situation if there was a possibility that person misses. And even some politicians that were challenging the Secret Service representative a few days ago, they went, created the same exact situation in Texas, same exact roof, wind conditions, etc., and they hit that shot 95% of the time. And again, we also heard earlier some of Thomas Crooks' old schoolmates claiming that he was a bad shot and that he tried out for the team, the shooting team, I guess, but didn't make it. So there's really so much going on. I don't want to overload everybody with information. As always, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the Between the Lies podcast. I've been putting hours in, getting all this information, watching documentaries, hearing other people's feedback, and making my own opinions on it. And that's what this is all about. And as always, I'm just trying to lead people to water. I can't make you drink. But if one person can listen to this podcast, any episode of this podcast, honestly, and look at the world a little different, then my job is done. So I ask you guys to consider these things and keep doing your own research on the topic and form your own opinions on it. But I'm leaning towards the possibility this may have been staged in some type of like ritual, occult, maybe. Maybe a way to usher Trump into the presidency, an event that allows all this attention on him and is almost like a sacrifice to get him to the presidency. That seems more logical to me than Secret Service, like not seeing a building that was 410 feet away. But nonetheless, I could go on and on. Thank you for listening to the Between the Lies podcast. As always, I am your host, signing off, over and out. Thanks, guys.